Hi guys, Kemiola here. How have you guys been? that's an old greeting. I used to do my old YouTube videos. But yeah, how have you been? Yeah, have you been great? It's another episode of What to the Weary. It's episode 3. Every time there's a new episode, I am amazed by that fact. Because I keep expecting there not to be, you know, for many reasons. I keep thanking God every time I'm able to film another one of these. It's like a big deal. Like, I'm even before shooting, I'm already excited. Like, oh my gosh, yes, I can shoot. I'm going to shoot today. I get excited by that. Anyways, welcome to another episode. It's episode 3 today. If you are new here, if this is your first time listening, welcome. My name is Kemiola and I am your host. And this is generally just a space for like encouragement and understanding and, you know, just prompting your joy again in God, you know, all of that in God. So yeah, welcome. Yeah, so today I'm going to talk about something that is a bit more personal. See, I'm already sweating because it is. I've been mopping my face this whole time and I'm still in that space because I'm like, oh, do I want to talk about this? I don't know, it's a bit personal, but yeah, today I'm going to talk about self-love and acceptance. So the concept of self-love, I mean, if you have ever been on social media, and yes, there's, before I just go into it, there's like the traffic noises and the birds chirping, and it's a regular thing here. I barely even notice it, but you know, every time I'm listening back to the audio, I'm recording the audio now, and every time I'm listening back and I'm hearing that in the background, I'm like, oh yes, I get that a lot here. Anyways, so yeah, when it comes to the concept of self-love, I mean, if you're on social media often, self-love is like something that everybody talks about. I love myself, I accept myself, you know, I'm that, I am she, I am who's who, and all of that. There is those quotes, a lot of them antagonistic, where it's like, if they don't love you, don't love them back. There's a lot of those. There's also some that are really nice and very, very, you know, good for boosting confidence. I think if I were to search like self-love quotes now, I'm just gonna do that. I didn't think to do that before, but now it's occurring to me. If I were to search self-love quotes, I think the top thing that I will find, yeah, is around, you know, how important it is to love yourself. And yeah, there's also some of them like, be the love you never received. Another one is, our first and last love is self-love. Yeah, and one says, one of the best guides to how to be self-loving is to give ourselves the love we're often dreaming about receiving from others. Yes, there's some of those. I think some of the ones I've seen more talk about originality, being yourself, accepting yourself, which is the angle that I have come to see self-love from, right? I am, wow, sweating so much. It's not hot. Should I say nervous? I don't even know what I am this morning, right? It's morning. I don't know. Is it morning? Yes, it is. No. It's noon. It's actually noon. I don't know what I am. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know what it is. But yeah, I'm sweating so much right now. Yeah. So for me, self-love started from a place of first learning acceptance. I believe that self-love starts from self-acceptance, because you cannot love something that you've not accepted. You cannot... Yeah, quite frankly speaking, you have to accept something that as what it is. You have to first acknowledge it as being what it claims to be before you can then love the thing. And so for me, self-acceptance was like a difficult journey. I mean, I'm a millennial, you know, and one of the things that I was exposed to is I call it the sexy coming of age, or the age of sexy in, or becoming sexy. Like, I don't know, I guess the sexy coming of age for me is the time when sexy began to mean something else according to media. So those were the things I grew up watching. It moved from just being like, you know, I mean, sexy has always had many definitions across different centuries, but in my own generation, what I witnessed that being was skinny ladies, you know, with a certain height, with a certain build, with a certain skin type, with a certain type of hair, who always just had perfect and flawless skin. And there was a lot of that. And just to start with, I would be described as short if we're talking about height. And so I think that was my first major issue with me as a person, is that I didn't even like how I looked. It took me a while. It took years. I mean, it was adulthood. Like, I mean, to be straightforward, I only started liking how I looked, like, in recent years, very, very recent years. I'm talking like maybe 2 years ago, thereabouts, is when I started liking how I looked, because I had ingrained a lot of, you know, content, first of all, that told me that this is how I'm supposed to look, this is the ideal way to look, and all of that. And struggling with that alone, it just put me in a place where I always wanted to look a certain way, but it wasn't working out, because your how you look is how you look, right? So in my case, I'm not tall. I'm 5'2". Some people would say that's medium height for a lady. You know, it's cute to be short. That's my argument these days. Like, I'm a lady, it's cute, wear a shirt, right? So some people would say that it's cute to be short, but some people would also say that short is short, right? And so I first didn't like that I was short. I also have this typical African build, that stocky, you know, full-bodied kind of look. When I stand, it do be really obvious I have that kind of body, and I struggled with that as well. I struggled with, you know, the fact that I have big upper arms. I struggled with the fact that I had thick thighs. I struggled with the fact that my face was more round than it was. I really thought the ideal face shape is like this oval, this longish face shape, because it really looks nice with long hair. I struggled with my hair, struggled with how my hair was. My hair is 4C, the C-est of C's. The 4C++ is my hair. I call it a towel. It's basically, I never leave my hair out, because it's basically like a towel. It's long enough to be in a bun, but if I take out the braids now, in like, I don't know, say a few hours, it's gonna look like my hair is just this low. It's like that. And those were the things, you know, I had those features. And then just generally, I also have bow legs. My legs are not straight, my legs are like curved, right? And all of these things were things that I did not like about myself, and try to either change or hide. Change in terms of, I mean, most people who know me know that I'm very into like fitness and health. I work out almost like 5 times a week, mostly, but I don't even look like I work out, you know. And there's those things, and it goes into different aspects of just my appearance, and it was a big struggle. I remember back in school, I would go a full week when I was in university. I would go a full week just eating maybe like leaves. Yeah, I remember then ugu leaves, water leaf. I'll do a little blanching spinach. They are Yoruba names, but I can't remember the. I only remember ugu leaf, and you know, I would not a wuru, I think. If my mother listens to this, she'll be so disappointed. Anyways, so I would eat those things the full week. I think there was a week when I stopped. There was a period when I stopped eating food too. I was just doing only fruits. I would go like a full week, 2 weeks, just fruits, only fruits. I mean, and then even then, like when I look at my throwback pictures now, I'm like, wow, this girl was skinny. But then I felt fat because I have like thicker muscles. So even me being slim, you can still tell that I'm thick, you know. And I struggled with that, a lot of that. And so self-acceptance was a big struggle for me. It was a big journey, you know, getting to look at myself. I didn't even like looking at myself in the mirror that much, you know. For those who knew me in school, there was a way that I dressed. I always had a jacket on. I mean, now I have a jacket because if I just took it off, it would be exposure. And, you know, it's kind of become a style, but there's now no shame attached to my wearing jackets. It's just style, and I know how to look stylish. I think I look very stylish in them now. But then I wore those jackets to hide. I wore big clothes. If I wore like maybe a bodycon dress, really great underneath, I would then put on a big jacket on top of it or a big shirt. You know, I would wear baggy trousers. I also liked hats for some reason, or like big hair that covered my face. Most people who know me from way back can testify to me always having, like, I used to do this afro curl thing, the weave. Yes, so I had a lot of that. Like, I could go, you know, on and on about how much I was averse to looking at myself. I did not like my fingers. I felt like they were too stubby, kind of the way they should be, because you'd watch TV or you'd see like social media and you'd see these slender long fingers where they would use to advertise the rings. You know, I love rings a lot. I'm almost always wearing rings. I mean, I don't do that for this because this is just me chilling and talking about me and God and encouraging you. But in most in daily life, every time, I'm always wearing rings. But before I got there, I didn't used to like them at first because I felt like my fingers were not pretty. And then when I started wearing them, I used to wear a lot because I felt like a lot of rings would distract from how ugly my fingers looked. It was a lot, guys. It was intense. I didn't like my eyes. I didn't like my teeth. People would tell me that, oh, I smell nice, but I didn't see it. I didn't think my smile was nice or pretty. I did not know that I had dimples until I was a full adult. Because I wasn't looking at myself from a place of acceptance. I mostly just looked at myself from a place of condemnation. And so going through that condemnation, I kept giving that to myself because it just felt better to do that. Because it felt easier to do that. And because it didn't feel normal to accept something that wasn't portrayed or sold or lauded in the media as normal. And as an adult, right, I mean I was born into a Christian home. I've always been a church girl. I joined the choir when I was 3. I was in the choir till I think I was like 26 or thereabouts, and I just said, you know what, let's stop doing church, let's take a break, let's breathe. And so I saw myself becoming one of those people who just, it was an activity, it was a responsibility. I didn't particularly care about the relationship aspect of it, and that's what made me stop, you know, being so intense with church at the time. Now I'm back in church, you know, normal, doing all the things that I should do normally. Every time I can't English, I find it so funny because my job is to English, you know, in daily life. Anyways, so I went through that phase, and I haven't always been a Christian. I did not understand self-love even from the God angle, because, you know, you can tell me that, yes, God loves me, Jesus died for me, all of that. You can say all of that to me, but if God loves me, why did he make me like short and fat? You know, I used to think that. And I would go crazy with exercise, go crazy with dieting, go crazy with my goal was for my waist to be like a 24 inches, centimeters? I'm not sure now. But yes, 24 inches, I think. What is it? 24 centimeters. Inches is long. 24 inches is long. Anyways, my goal was for my waist to be 24 centimeters. For what, man? Like, now I'm thinking about it, and for what? No, it's inches. I'm confused. I have a measuring tape, but I'm not going to leave this couch for any reason. But, you know, whichever applies to waists, I mean, let's just apply that. But that was my goal. And at the time, it was 27, and it made me miserable. Now I think about those things, and it's ridiculous to me, but if you told me, okay, God loves you, so you should cherish yourself, I'll be like, I don't think so, because God made people that are like clearly supermodels, that are born supermodels, and then he made me. And then I barely eat or barely, and I look like this. And man, if you see my old pictures, you'd wonder why I thought I was fat, because now that version of me would call me now obese, for sure, for sure. For sure, for sure. Like, that version of me would look at me now with disgust, like, ew, brother. What's that, brother? But, and then so I started to get really into my relationship with God, beyond church, beyond activities, beyond what I was taught, you know, just for myself, wanting to know God. And that led me down a path that I think has been the best experience of my life so far. So first of all, the first thing that keyed me into acceptance is that very popular scripture. Ironic, but it's that, know ye not that your body is a temple. Oh, gosh. I first read it and it was plain to me. It was plain to me for years even. Now, I'm a very big lover of junk food. I still struggle with my love for junk food because, and I don't like it because of the sweetness or anything. That's not the reason. I like it because it's easy. Like, if I want to eat now, instead of taking 1 hour or 30 minutes to cook a healthy meal, I can just grab some donuts, you know. 2 donuts, 3 donuts, I'm full. And that's food for the day. That's why I struggle with junk food, because it's easy, it's accessible. And then it's just being safer than buying food for me, because sometimes you buy food and then you're throwing up for the rest of the day. Sometimes, not all the time. And also it's expensive. Buying food is expensive. But yes, I'm digressing. So this scripture, of course, my recent favorite version is the NLT, the New Living Translation. So I'm going to read from there. It says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." So when I first read the scripture, I was like, yes, right, my body belongs to God. Okay, I don't belong to myself. All right, thank you for the information. You know, it didn't strike me as anything special. It didn't strike me as any sort of a big deal. I mean, okay, we all know they've been telling me since childhood that I belong to God, but so when then, even though, and so what? And then the next verse is, "For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." And so for me, I didn't see the depth in this scripture, because for me it was even if God bought me with the high price, he didn't give me a really pretty body, he didn't give me a really pretty face. But then as I grew, of course, this scripture now is talking, it was talking about sexual immorality, right? That's the focus for the scripture, that's the context for the scripture. It was talking about sexual immorality, but I started to think about it in terms of just generally anything impure being done or entering my body. And that's where my relationship with my body started to change. I started to see my body as a temple that I want God to dwell in, right? And so because my relationship with God was deepening, it was I don't like how my body looks. I hadn't gotten to acceptance here. Here I was just, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm trying to obey God. Obey? I'm trying to obey God. I don't like how my body looks, but you know, let me just try to obey. That's where it started from for me. Let me just try to obey God. Let me just try to maybe treat my body better. And so I stopped even abusing exercise, because you can do that. I stopped abusing my diet, because you can do that. Of course, that resulted in me looking fuller, but you know, I love it. I stopped taking certain things. There are things that I used to take a lot of before. I stopped taking those things because they were not healthy for my body. And I started to see my body from the POV of what's a temple like. Now, I'm very into spaces. Like, my space is, I like certain colors. I like cool colors, blues, grays, whites. My entire space is like this. Other than plants, this is the only green thing in this place. My entire space is blue, gray, and white. This couch that has these pillows is the only, is like the most colorful thing in this house, in this space. So I like calm spaces. And I thought about it from the angle of me, how important my space is to me. My space is so important to me. I like calm spaces. I like to breathe clean air. I don't like too much noise. I like bright places when I'm working and dark places when I'm not. And this room is my workspace. It's the brightest room in the house. The living room has all the lights. They are never on because, you know, I like the importance of space. Anyways, the point is I'm so into how my space must be that I started to think about it that if I want God to dwell in this body, if I want God to work through this body, one of my prayers that I do often is to say, you know, Holy Spirit, take over. God, take over. Speak through my mouth. You know, touch people through my hands, move through my feet. And if I want God to do that through this body, I have to treat this body better. This now spilled into even when I rest. I have to rest as a Wendy. I have to rest enough. It went into even my mind. I have to build my mind enough. I have to use the brain. I have to build the brain. I have to feed the body, nourish it. Went into cleaning. I'm not going to walk around with, like, you know, dirty skin all day. I have to wash myself. I have to clean my body. I have to brush. I'm not going to walk around with mouth odor all day because my body is a temple. What kind of temple smells like morning breath? I'm not going to do that. And so that's just that knowledge. It started from there. But you see, what really brought me to a place of acceptance is starting to see myself how God sees me. And so it stopped being about how I look. It stopped being about what the media says I should look like, because please, the media can say a lot of things about how you look, you know. It stopped being about what the media says I should look like. It stopped being about what magazines say I should look like. It stopped being about what the acceptable standard of beauty is. It started being more about how God sees me. And you see, when I think of things from how God sees me, I get very emotional. I'm very humble. There are scriptures that says that God knows the hairs on my head. My hair is very full. And it trips me when I think about it, because my hair is intensely dense. Like, there's so much hair on my head. And if God knows the numbers of those hairs, hey, that is some deep kind of love. You know, there's a psalm that I particularly like about this. This psalm humbles me. Like, this psalm comes to mind a lot. Sometimes I'm taking a walk at night and I see, you know how at night, I live in a place with a lot of plants. So by the side of the road, there's like, it gets dark at night sometimes. And then the street lights are by the road, but then there's like a small forest behind it where there's no light. And when you look there, it's just dark. Is dense. And this scripture trips me because I look at that forest, I'm like, even if I enter this forest now, God will be with me. It's Psalm 139. So Psalm 139, I'm gonna read the NLT again because it's one of my favorite versions. This psalm humbles me so much. I'm tearing up. It gets to me so much. It gets to me so much. I can't even explain it. So, this is Psalm 139. It said, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord." See, this verse 4, right? What it brings to mind is, you know how when you're in a relationship with somebody and then, like, you know, you're dating, or maybe your best friend, let's even say you're not dating. I mean, for instance, I have a really close friend, my best friend. We're talking and then sometimes I want to say something and she starts laughing. I'm like, what? She said, because I know what you're going to say. That's how I see this verse. You know what I'm going to say before I say, like, you know me so much. You've watched me, studied me. You've spent so much time with me that you know me that well, right? You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, right? For me, for real. Too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, I say hope. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. The King James Version says, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You see, how this trips me. I'm tearing up. How this trips me, right? This is verse 14. This is a verse that says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, right? How this trips me is, I think about it in the context of my being a woman. How my body functions. You know, just thinking about the menstrual cycle alone. The way a woman's hormones functions. The reproductive system. The fact that PMS is a real thing. The fact that I could be weeping, like I could feel like the world is about to end today just because I'm about to go through I'm about to expel something out of my body that should not be there, that was not used. I like to think PMS is my body being sad for not being able to conceive this time around, you know, for not conceiving this time around. It's like my body was like, okay, we're about to have a baby. Oh, we're not having a baby. I'm so sad. And then PMS. And then period, and then we go again. Just thinking about the hormonal system of a woman, right? And then think about now the digestive system of humans. Think about the nervous system. Think about how your body functions. Think about all these things, and it will like every time I think about just how my body functions, I'm like, who put this much thought into who does this? I remember one day I saw a picture on a friend's status. She had put up a picture of a lily. I think it was a lily, yes. And she said, it's crazy to think that the same God who made this made me. Man, I wept. I was just looking at the picture and crying. Because if you zoom into those pictures, like if you zoom into the pictures or like images of plants, some flowers, some birds, the designs on their feathers, and the person, the being that made that made you, it starts to point you to just how much work, how much thought, how much intentionality was put into making you. Let me finish the scripture. I had to take that break. I was gonna cry, guys. I was gonna weep right here. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Again, it humbles me so much to think that, you know, God knew I was going to be doing this today, and he already saw that, he already recorded it, he already went through it, and I am just getting here. But he's been here, he's prepared it, he's perfected this day. You know, when you think about it like that, it's so humbling, it's so beautiful. Excuse me. It's so humbling to think about being loved like that. It's so humbling to think about that kind of intentionality, right? So I think I think the person that I know right now that loves me the most in the world is my mother, right? My mother is like, she's crazy about me. This is fact. Mothers and daughters fight. My mom and I fight a lot. But my mother loves me so much. If I tell her that I am, you know, sick and she's in another state, And I'm like, I really want to taste your cooking. My mom can cut a journey short. She can be like, okay, so I'm supposed to be here till like maybe the middle of the week, but I'll come tomorrow. And she's gonna leave there and come straight to my house and cook for me. My mother would do that. My mother would, you know, go to the market, do a full out shopping just to make soups and stews for me. That's my mother. It's humbling to think that God loves me more than my mother loves me. It overwhelms I wasn't gonna do this. It overwhelms me, right? It overwhelms me so much when I think of the love of God from that angle. When I begin to truly examine how loved I am by God. So let me just finish this scripture. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? Hey, how precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Guys, wow. I started to be able to accept me because I started to realize that there is a way that God sees me that is beyond, you know, human comprehension. I started to understand that God loves me. I have friends that know me. I say it in Yoruba. I say, Olorun feran mi follow me, like Olorun like me gan. It's such an assurance that I have. It's such a place of strength for me. And just the knowledge that God loves me started to make me realize that God does love me. And if God loves me, whatever he has given me, however he has made me, is the best for me. The body he has given me, the looks he has given me, the heart he has given me, the mind he has given me, the skills he has given me, the features he has given me, all those things are the best for me. And boy, that changed my life. Thinking like that changed my life. Like, my height is the best possible height I could have, you know. My smile is just great. It's what it should be. And now when I smile, I'm not smiling like because it's funny. I'm not smiling with the thought that, oh, I don't want to show my teeth too much. My teeth were really straight before, by the way. I cracked them by trying to bend metal, you know. Just, I don't know, youthful exuberance, whatever that was really. And I was ashamed of them for a while. But now I don't, like, I'm gonna smile, and if you ask, I'll tell you why they are cracked. And you know, if you don't ask, I mean, my smile is still pretty. It built in me a confidence that I never thought that I could have. A confidence that I have. A confidence that I am loved, even with my age factor. A confidence that I am loved, guys. And so I'm just gonna encourage you today. I'm so in my feelings. And this was not even half of what I wanted to talk about, because I've just read one scripture. It's not half of what I wanted to talk about, but you know, I'm not gonna drag it on too long. I'm just going to encourage you. See yourself the way God sees you. And I'll tell you for free, God loves you. God is intensely in love with you. Do you know what kind of love it takes to say that anywhere I go, you watch me, you're there with me? In darkness, in the high heavens, at the edge of the sea, you are there with me. When I sleep, you are there with me. And when I'm awake, you are there with me. Your hand of blessing is over me. You've written every day that I could live. Like, I think about these things and I'm just here like, you know, it's that scripture that comes to mind. I think about what David must have thought of to say, who is man that you are mindful of him? Because who am I? Like, really? Like, really, guys? Oh, gosh. I'm not even sweating anymore. Now I'm sweating from my eyes. All the sweats today. So, the jig is, once you start to see yourself, okay, that helped me calm down. Yeah. Once you start to see yourself, the way that God sees you, it changes a lot. It changes a whole lot. So I'm gonna encourage you today. First of all, accept your acceptance, right? So because that seeing how much God loved me, reading about it, and getting a true revelation of that love, began to tell me that, okay, fine. So yes, my friends will make fun of how I walk, and people will make fun of how I had certain birth defects that affected like my physique, the way my hands were. For a long time, my hand wasn't straight for years and years. For a long time, I walked with my back kind of hunched and all of that. And the comments made, those careless comments, playful comments, they dug deep into me and stayed somewhere in my head that made me see myself in a very ugly light. So now coming to the knowledge of how God sees me, how much God likes me, that started to tell me that there's someone that accepts me and is the person who made me. And if the one who made me is crazy in love with me like this, there might be something special about me that I'm missing. So this is a call to accept your acceptance. Beyond anybody and anything else, God has accepted you. Accept that acceptance. Walk in the knowledge of that acceptance. Let that guide you. Let it encourage you. Let it empower you. Let it give you a boost when you wake up in the morning. Man, I wake up in the morning and I do my regular. First thing I do every day first is thank you, Lord, for a new day, right? I say it, no conditions. I always say that when I wake up. And then because my mirror is right by my door, so say I'm going to the bathroom to ease myself. As I'm walking by, I always look at the mirror and say, such a beauty. Every day. Every day. Some of my friends, when they say, "Oh, Kemi, you are pretty," I mean, like, of course. I started to see, like, it became a sort of ritual, and now I'm so used to it that by myself in the house, I'm hyping myself up. Why is this girl so pretty? Like, I go there, like, why? Why are you so pretty, Kemi? I mean, I'm not the prettiest person, to be honest. But please, I am blessed. I'm pretty. I'm loved. I am so confident in the love that I have that it helps me to love myself. You know how being loved gives you a confidence, even like in regular relationships. Your relationship with maybe your friends or your family or your significant other, it is why when pastors are teaching about family, they will tell fathers and mothers, they'll tell parents to love their children. They will say, fathers, love your daughters. Because someone who receives love is why when a father loves a daughter, the daughter grows up confident in that love, that it's rare that she settles for less than standard love outside. As an adult, she does not accept less than standard because there's a standard that has been set for her. The first man who loved her has shown her what love is. It's the same thing when boys grow up receiving love from their parents. They have a certain standard, especially from their mothers. You see boys that were really loved and cuddled by their mothers when they grow up, boys that experience that the fullness of maternal love when they grow up, they have. And then you see girls saying, I'm not your mother. It's not, they are not acting out of entitlement. They're acting out of what they know to be love. So what most guys know to be love is staying up late to cook for you, even if you get home in the middle of the night. Yes, a mother would do that. And so when you grow up, it's only natural that you expect that to be the love that you receive because that's the love that you've gotten. You would not want to settle for less. That's what being loved does for you. Being loved gives you a standard of love. And then you somehow do not, you are unable to receive less. Let me say that again. Being loved gives you a standard of love that you cannot go lower than. That's what it is. So if the love that you are receiving, the love that you need to start with for self-love, for self-acceptance, is to start with the love of God. because the love of God is the highest standard. I do like dying for someone. Hey, ish, whoosh, that's the highest standard. So if I've received love from God, to be honest, it would be difficult for me to settle for any kind of love, just a random type of love, because I know who I am. And to God my Father, I am, you know, definitely a princess. I mean, yes, like literally speaking, head, we are joint heirs with Christ. So as Christ is, so am I. And so just having that knowledge gives you a sort of confidence, a sort of confidence to say, I am loved. And because I am loved, I will not settle for less than that quality of love, even from myself. So in as much as God has loved me enough to do all the things that God has done out of love, even I will not accept less than that standard of love from myself. And this is why, you know, in the commandments, you know, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, because he loved you first. And then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. The love you give others will come from the love that you have for yourself. Self-love spreads into so many other things. You know, it spreads into how we treat other people. How you treat other people, how you talk to other people, how you engage with other people. It starts from how you see yourself. Someone that is mean to others, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it comes from a place of just already not liking themselves. Only hurt people hurt people. People that are not hurting, people that are fine, they don't hurt other people. If you are full of peace and love, that's the only thing you can give, because it is out of your fruits. Those are the things that will come. Those are the things that will come out of you. The things that are in you are the fruits that you bear. If you are full of love and peace, joy and happiness, you cannot spread distress, you cannot spread hate. It won't come out of you. It cannot. Even when you intend to spread anger, it will probably just sound like a minor complaint lovingly said. You know, your angry sound like loving suggestions. I'm just saying, I don't think that's true, but yeah, the point is, start by accepting your acceptance. Your acceptance by God. If you can accept that God has accepted you, then you'll be able to accept that you. You'll be able to accept yourself. But it starts for me. I mean, that was my journey. I can't believe I'm not sweating anymore. I was so nervous at the beginning of this because it was such a touchy subject for me. It is a very personal journey that I've been on with acceptance. And you know, I'm in a very good place now with just self-image, self-acceptance, self-love. It's not the kind that boils into pride. It's not the kind that boils into condescending to other people. No, that's not self-love. That's something else. Anything that makes you think you're better than others or makes you condescend to others is not what God is asking you to do. That's pride, and that's born of self. It's not born of God. But self-love will come from a place of acceptance. And that acceptance will come from a place of you seeing you how God sees you. I mean, there are other scriptures. Excuse me. There are other scriptures that point to this, you know. Scripture says that we are the apple of God's eyes. That entire prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah talks about all the things that Jesus was going to go through for our sakes. You know, it doesn't talk about those things. Those things are sacrifices of love that cannot be replaced. So what manner of love is this that a man should lay down his life? Like, it's mind-boggling. And that's why one of the songs that occasionally make me cry a lot, I'm kind of a crier, guys. I cry when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm upset, when I'm in a good mood, when I'm satisfied, like when I hear a good song, when I'm worshiping, when I'm praising, I cry for everything. Like literally praise and worship is so weird. I'm clapping and dancing, but tears are streaming down my face. That's like my, that's how my spirit emotes, I guess. So this song, oh my gosh, I can't remember the title, but it's all the overwhelming, never ending. Reckless Love. Yes. Reckless Love makes me cry a lot. A lot. Because when I think of those lyrics are so true. And when you think about how God loves you, you actually, if you think about it deep enough, you become overwhelmed. And that's what gets me. That's what was even getting me emotional as I read the scripture. It's like, really, really, who am I in the grand scheme? Like, for real. For real, I'm like a tiny girl in my tiny house in a tiny city doing what I do. Well, I love to talk and encourage people, and that's how I got here. And even that was a journey. That was it. So yeah, I'm remembering this now, and it was part of my points, right, that I noted down. But self-acceptance. Yeah, I'm getting excited. Oh, I'm excited already. Self-acceptance is a constant journey. You know why? Because you're growing every day. You're seeing new. I mean, the mercies of God are new every day. So you are new every day. Some cells are dying every day. Some new ones are formed every day. It's life. As you are growing and changing and moving through life, there are new things about you that you need to accept. For me, getting to the point where I'm doing this, and this is the third episode, it was a journey to self-acceptance. I literally had to say, look, this is something that you love. I love to talk. I love to encourage people. I believe it's a purpose-filled thing. I've never been comfortable talking about God or my relationship with God outside of my closest circle. So it was a journey accepting this part of me, accepting that I was going to do this. Even that in itself was a whole journey and training. And that's how self-acceptance works. It's constant, which is why one of the most important scriptures to me is to renew your minds daily. And another one to that is to meditate. The one in Joshua is to meditate on the word daily. The book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate daily. Because you need to constantly, it's a constant orientation of the mind, reorienting your mind. And so that's what self-acceptance is too. It's a constant reorientation to say, this is who I am. But God has accepted this person. So I accept this person. I love this person. I'll do the best with the best. Oh, wow. I'll do the best with this person that I can. Constantly saying that, accepting that, and working on that is the journey. Yeah. So, in summary, the point of this entire episode, if nothing stayed with you today, this I want to stay with you. I want to encourage you. Accept your acceptance. Love yourself because God already loves you. Silence the spirit of rejection. Silence the spirit of rejection from yourself or from other people. Silence it. Focus on you. Take days. You know, so an exercise that I did at some point was looking at myself in the mirror every day. I mean, this close, like really close, looking at myself in the mirror and saying, ah, okay, so my eyes are shaped this way, so my nose looks like this, okay. At first it was uncomfortable. After a while, I started to see other things. I started to see other features. And then I did that not just for my face, but my entire body. I would stand in front of the mirror and just look at myself. Oh, and then I say, oh, I have moles here, I have moles here, I have moles here, I have a birthmark here, I have it this year. Oh, how I know when I'm overeating is when the mole on my tummy expands. I have eaten too much. My tummy doesn't look round from the front, but from the side. Like, I did all of that. I did all of that for my entire self. And I started to see what was special and what was not, and what was, you know. And everything was unique, actually. There was no not, to be honest. Because you are unique. Everything about you was intentionally placed there by God. And it's a part of fulfilling your purpose. It's a part of your walk and your work with God on this earth. And so, yes, please, please accept your acceptance. See yourself the way God sees you. See yourself the way God sees you. God loves you. So you should love you too. If God can love you, there's no reason why you should not love him. And this is not because God loves everyone. This is because God puts just as much effort into making you as he puts into the most beautiful person in the world. Miss World, the most beautiful man alive or woman alive, the sexiest person in the world, all of those people, God puts just as much effort into making you as he puts into making them. So you are just as special, the most talented person, the most handsome person, the richest person, the biggest person, the greatest, all of those. God put just as much effort into making you as he put into making them. So please see yourself the way that God sees you. You are beautiful, you're special, you're worthy, you're deserving of love. Every day I look at myself and say, what a beauty. I'm brushing my teeth and I smell like, wow, you're really pretty, Kemi. You are so blessed to be this fine. I mean, I like baggy clothes. I'm always wearing stuff that is bigger than me. But the few times when I'm not, I'm like, look at your figure. Gosh, you are so pretty. You are so beautiful. I say that to myself. Sometimes I smile, I'm like, God, thank you for my beautiful smile. God, thank you for my dimples. God, thank you for the shape of my eyes. I say all of that because I know that God perfectly, carefully thought out every part of me that he has made. Same as he did for you. So today, please remember that you are loved. And love yourself even more because of it. Nobody will love you the way God loves you. And the best love, the love that matters above all, is the love of God. And God is crazy about you. Just think on that and be glad. Think on that and rejoice. Like, think on that and lose it. I lose it because I think on that and just lose it. This is like the longest one yet. Oh my God, I'm almost an hour in. I'm so excited by this concept, right? I'm so excited by the idea of the love of God. I'm so excited by it. Like, it drives me. Like, it... Anyways, I'll end it here today. But, you know, you're loved by God. And I love you too. I may not know you if you're listening to this. If you're not watching, I love you. If you're watching, I still love you. Yeah, I love you because you're my brother or sister in God. Yeah, and that's it for today. For the song recommendation, as I always do, while I was reading the scripture that I wanted to share today, this Psalm 139, I kept hearing this song in my head. I'm still hearing it now. I was hearing it on and off throughout this entire talk. And it is In the Room by Maverick City and Tasha Cobbs. Is in the room. Yes, I really like the song. I guess the song has been in my heart because the lyrics kind of rhyme with that part of the scripture of the Bible verse I read where it says, if I make my bed in hell, no matter where I go, where can I run from the spirit? Where can I? And of course, yes. Also, I'm just remembering, Tasha in this song talked about the spirit of rejection and how he got that depressed and how she had to break out of it by, you know, realizing and accepting, you know, acknowledging that God is with her, she's not alone, God loves her, all of that, and she broke out of that bondage. So yes, please listen to it. He is in the room, Maverick City Music and Tasha Cobbs. I think, I'm not sure, that should be the name. If it's not the name, I'll put the right name on the screen. But if it's the name, you know, listen to it. I'm gonna just start linking the songs that I mentioned. I'm gonna start linking them in the description so that if you are watching on YouTube, you can just click on the link and go straight to the song. But if you're listening, just, you know, He's in the Room by Tasha Cobbs, Maverick City Music. That is all for today. Thank you so much for listening. This was a beautiful experience, not just for not just for me, I hope that even as you listen, you were encouraged to see yourself as God sees you. You're encouraged to love yourself even more because God loves you. Accept yourself. You're beautiful as is. No matter what your features are, no matter how unusual they look, no matter what you look like, no matter how you look like, you're still beautiful. And you're wonderfully and fearfully made. Beautifully made. And that's all for today. And as I always say, dear friend, I hope that all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you're strong in spirit. God bless you. Bye.